am so excited that we are here in worship this morning. And God, Paul, if y'all sound that good in the parking lot, come on. I am so ready to be back in the building with all of you and to hear the organ and the piano and to not be standing under tailgate tents for worship. But what a blessing it is to be here this morning with you in the flesh. It's been weird reacclimating to see what most of you look like in 3D and from eye level. I know most of you from the underside of your chin from our Zoom conversations. And I'm thankful that now you get to see what's above the mask. A few of you have asked me this morning why my face is naked. Apparently, butter was not the oil that Aaron ran down his beard in the scripture we read. If you don't know what I'm talking about, that's why you should come to church. Is something might happen here, you might not know about it, and then you're going to be confused what butter has to do with the youth pastor. But regardless, if I haven't met you or we haven't been introduced, my name is Kep Pate. I've been with you for about a year, but this may be only the second or third time you've seen me in person, and I am so excited to begin doing life with you again as we resume in-person worship and come back into the building. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, and I hope you do, whether you were at home or here in the parking lot, whether it is on paper or an iPad, I invite with you to turn with me to Psalm 23, and we'll be reading all six verses. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters, and he restores my soul. He guides me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of shadow and death, I fear no evil. Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou dost prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and thou hast anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all of the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The word of God for the people to God. Let us pray. God, we thank you for this time for us to come and gather here this morning as your church and as the family of God. As we dive deep into the scripture and wrestle with your word, we ask that you let the thoughts of our mind and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you. Pray all of this in your name. Amen. So, like I said, many of you may not have had the opportunity to get to know me, and that could be a blessing or a curse. I'm not here to decide, but my name is Kep. I'm from Atlanta. I was born and raised in the big city, so I don't know, I didn't know until I moved to Raleigh that there were other airlines than Delta, or that anything that comes in a can and is carbonated can be anything other than Coke. But Cheerline is wonderful, and I'm so thankful that you as a state have shared that with me, and I had no idea what I was missing growing up in Georgia. But saying I'm from Atlanta may not give you the clearest picture as to who I am. I wear boots, I talk a little slow, and I don't like tall buildings. I spent my summers in my mother's hometown, and that's really kind of where I self-identify as where I'm from. She's from a little town that kind of like if Mayberry ended up in Hazard County is the best way to describe where my mom comes from. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, I don't know if I can help you. But my grandfather was somewhere a combination between Andy Griffith and Uncle Jesse without the moonshine. And I spent my summers at his side and at his feet, tending to the cattle, helping with the hardware store that he owned and operated. And our family holidays and vacations were marked by the cousins and Papa out by the barn splitting wood for the fire. And that's probably a more accurate description of who I am than anything you see on a bio of Kep's from Atlanta. That's a lie. And I have been so blessed to come to Raleigh and find the best of both worlds, and to find a church that doesn't care that I talk a little slow and wear cowboy boots. And if you do care, please don't tell me, because no one says so yet, which has been wonderful. But as we come to the 23rd Psalm this morning, I'm reminded of my grandfather. Because like most of us, our grandfather or our great-grandfather is the closest thing to the character of the biblical shepherd that we'll ever know in the 21st century. Not only in his loving and caring demeanor, and the calloused hands that had the soft touch to hold a crying grandchild, just like the shepherd would hold the sheep, but also in the ways that I saw him care for the cattle and go out to the barn and take care of them, and how they would know his voice. And real quick, as the resident children's pastor, boys and girls, do we know what a shepherd is? You're allowed to raise your hand even if you didn't put on deodorant this morning. I know it's been a while and our hygiene routines may be lacking. So what's a shepherd? Yell it out loud. Takes care of the sheep, that's right. And the shepherd's job in the biblical story and throughout history is really to get the sheep out of the barn in the morning to the places they need to go during the day and back into the barn safely at night. And that's what I was blessed enough to do growing up with my grandfather. Is we'd wake up early in the morning, get the feed, and go and bring the cattle out of the barn, lead them to the grazing fields, and then call them back home at night. And when we hear in the scripture that the sheep knew their shepherd's voice, I can't help but think of the way my grandfather would call the cattle. And it kind of sounded like how the Arkansas Razorbacks will call in the football team to the stadium. Some of you are laughing because you've heard this in person and it will haunt your dreams for the rest of your life. But just like the sheep in the scriptures only know the voice of their shepherd, I don't know what my grandfather did to train cows this well, but they knew the voice of their shepherd. And no matter how hard the cousins and I would try to call the cattle, there was nothing we could do to get them to listen. And then he could hoot and holler, and he would have them parading around the fields like a marching band. It was incredible. So, do y'all want to hear what the voice of the shepherd sounds like? Yeah? All right. Now, it's important that I ask that any recording devices or cell phones are put away for this moment. But we are told in the scriptures that the shepherds would come early in the morning to the pen or the barn and would call the sheep out to still waters and green pastures. And having gone to seminary, I think most accurately the Greek tells us, it sounded a little something like this. Sicko! Woo! I'm serious. I have a master's degree in this. That's what it sounded like in the scriptures. But as I think of the shepherd in Psalm 23, I think of my grandfather calling the cows out of the barn and am reminded that probably not with the same inflection that I just did, is the way that Christ calls us as we follow him in this world. And we see this in Psalm 23 as probably one of the most known scriptures in the Bible. Before Pinterest came along and Micah 6:8 was hung in every sorority house dorm room of all time, Psalm 23 was probably the most well-known scripture in the Bible besides John 3:16. But as we come this morning, I think it's important both for our context and the context of the scripture that we remember that Psalm 23 does not stand alone in itself of this beautiful message of protection and green pastures and still waters, but comes after Psalm 22. Because the six verses of Psalm 23 are only in response to the 30 verses of Psalm 22 that paint a much different picture. We see in the Psalms that before David can rejoice of the green pastures and still waters found in Psalm 23, that in Psalm 22 he cries out and says, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" and my deliverance are the words of my groaning. Oh my God, I cry by the day, but thou dost not answer, and the night comes and I have no rest. Later in the psalm, he says, I am poured out like water, and all of my bones are out of joint. My heart has melted like wax within me, and my strength is dried up. And thou lays me down in the dust of the death. In church, I imagine this morning, in the wake and shadow of the last year, we probably feel a little bit more like Psalm 22 than we do in Psalm 23. And no matter how joyfully we gather, rejoice, and sing the praise that the shepherd calls us out to green pastures and walks with us through the valley of shadow and death, we still carry the weight of the long and dark night that we have walked through together as a community and a congregation. Because it has been a long night, and for over a year we have been stripped and torn away from moments that sometimes hurt too much to bear. Whether those are moments of joy that we didn't get to experience, like when I met my daughter for the first time, I kissed her through a mask, and she got to meet her grandparents on a TV screen. Or the moments of mourning where we could not be comforted or cared for by those that we loved. And as we said goodbye through telephones or iPads or the window of a nursing home because we weren't allowed inside. The moments we saw our young people not get to experience because a year of their childhood was taken away from them. And days we had on the calendar for 18 years didn't get to happen. Weddings that were held without the wedding parties or parents or grandparents. And I don't need to paint the picture of all of our stories, but we all come today with one of that. April of 2021 feels a whole lot more like Psalm 22 than it does Psalm 23, because we have been forced to go through this thing that we call life alone. And that, like it or not, and for good and real reasons of health and safety and concern that we needed to put in place, we were torn from the family of God. And in that moment, we were torn away from the support system, the community, and the fellowship that walks with us through the valley of shadow and death. Because when we read Psalm 23, the promise of the shepherd is not a divine warrior of Christ who comes in and fights our battles for us. Yes, he does. But the promise of the shepherd and the rod and the staff that comfort us is the church. It is the family of God who swoops in and picks up the pieces when we cannot. It is the Sunday school class who shows up at the doorbell with casseroles and covered dishes because we're Baptists and that's what the Holy Spirit tells us to do. When the demons of the darkness of night are knocking at the door, it is the hug on a Sunday morning by somebody we've seen every week for the last 30 years that says more than words ever could. And it is that same family who picks us up and rejoices with us when happiness comes. That is the promise we see and have been unable to feel for the last year. And this morning, as we come and read this, I come and think of the story we see in the Gospel of Luke. And in chapter 15, when Jesus comes into Jerusalem and talks about the ways that we can be ripped apart from the family of God, for the first time maybe in my life, I'm able to resonate with the story that Christ brings to the table. It's one that we all know. We've all grown up in Sunday school, either teaching or being taught, of the lost sheep that leaves the 99 and the shepherd goes to find. And it's the story of the sheep that has been separated from the flock that has been the story that we've all had to walk together for the last year. And it's been for reasons that maybe we didn't bring out on our own, reasons that we didn't choose. We didn't wake up on March 17th of 2020 and say, you know what, I'm done with church. I'm not interested in attending and seeing whatever they have to bring to the table in worship this morning, or my Sunday school class isn't doing it for me anymore. It was just gone. And my deepest fear is what's happened to us as a congregation in the last 18 months or so is what was an unintentional decision has become normal. And what was originally something that we missed and felt as a void has now become routine and comfortable. And like the sheep in Luke 15, we have become accustomed to and maybe even comfortable with being alone or removed from the flock or separated from the family of God. Of saying, you know, it's not that bad waking up on Sunday morning and watching church in my pajamas. I kind of like being able to go to the vacation home any Sunday that I want. It's kind of nice not waking up at 8 a.m. after staying up late to see the team play. Or it's convenient that I can take church with me in my pocket wherever I go. And that Zoom has put a Band-Aid and replaced the promise of the shepherd of the family of God we see in Psalm 23. And as we come back here this morning to celebrate and look forward to a return to in-person worship, to look forward to being returned to the flock, I think we need to hear the story of the lost sheep that comes in Luke 15 so we can fully appreciate the promise of Psalm 23 and the rejoicing of the table that is prepared for us by the shepherd. Because like sheep, we have a tendency to wander ourselves away from the family of God. Because as the scripture tells us, sheep are kind of dumb. And that in no way is a comment on perhaps a collegiate mascot of this area, Mark. But sheep are dumb. They cannot help themselves. They are prone to wander and walk away. And every commentary you can possibly find or dig up on the story of the parable of the lost sheep in Luke 15 is it says that the sheep just nibbled itself away from the family of God. Of saying, oh, I think I'll go eat over here, or this patch of grass over here looks nice, or those dandelions, whatever they're called, looks delicious, and I'll go over here, and over here, and over here, until night falls, or the wolf cries, and the sheep looks up, and cannot find its way home. And that when needs arise, or danger beckons, and it lifts its eyes to the horizon, that it no longer can find the family of God, its support system, its protection, its shepherd, the rod and the staff that gave it comfort. And the sheep cannot find its way home again. It has become lost. In church, my fear is whether it was by design, intention, mistake, or just being worn down from all of the things that have happened in the past year, night has come in one way or the other, and we have lifted our eyes towards the horizon, and we are unaware of how to bring ourselves back home. We don't know what it looks like. We might think it's uncomfortable. We haven't been there in over a year. I don't know how to interact with this group of people I once did life with. It might be awkward. I am lost and I do not know the way home. And we need to establish that lost is not a dirty word. It's not a negative word. It just describes the context in which the sheep finds itself when it looks up from the grass and is nibbling and can't find the family of God. The Bible does not look to the sheep and call it heathen or pagan or sinful or evil. It is simply lost. And because we as a country and community and as a church with a capital C have somehow manipulated and twisted and turned on what the scripture says when a sheep has wandered from the family of God, and we have turned lost into a dirty or naughty or negative word, that we've also forgotten that when the sheep that has been lost or removed from the family of God returns, that it is a celebration and not a condemnation. Because in Luke 15, when the shepherd goes out to find the sheep, and in all the parables that are bunched together with that one of the lost coin and of the son who walked away, that they when they returned, there was a party of great rejoicing in church. Today, as we return as the sheep reunited as a flock, there may be some people that we haven't seen in the wild that are wandered away, that faded in the last year for whatever reason or another, and maybe it's us. But today, as we get to come back into the parking lot with the family of God, we need to remember that it is a celebration. And as we return to church and the congregation trickles back into the pews in the sanctuary, we're not going to open the doors in May 2nd and everybody come back at once. And as the sheep return, we need to remember that it is going to be a party and a celebration as they come home. And if you're one of the sheep who have wandered or nibbled yourselves away in this time for whatever reason, we need to remember that the shepherd, the Lord our God, will move heaven and earth. It has moved heaven and earth to come find you and has left the 99 to bring you home. Because, church, it is time to come home. And the message we need to hear this morning as we return to Psalm 23 to remember the promise of the table that has been prepared before us in the presence of our enemies is that the shepherd goes to get the sheep, not just for the safety of the one who wandered away, but goes to get the one for the sake of the 99, because when a member of the family of God is no longer with us, something is missing, and there's a chair empty at the dinner table, and we cannot be made whole until they return home. And it is our job as the church to make sure that those who are not with us know that this is a place that they can come home and be loved and embraced and rejoiced, because something with us is missing when they are not here. And that is why we gather together, whether it be Zoom in the parking lot or in the sanctuary. Now, as there seems to be for the first time in a long time, a light at the end of the tunnel, and we can maybe dream of a future where we can gather together and mask or just a memory of the past. It's not tomorrow, but it's coming. I know that doesn't remove the remainder of the evils and darkness and demons in the world, because I've watched the news as you have. And my heart breaks to see the sea of evil and hatred and division that is roaring around us. And we have been more divided, more opinionated, and more hateful and more angry as a country and a community than ever. And as we gather here today, that same darkness and anger may be knocking on your door or consuming all of the things that you hear or wade through to as an individual the other 6 days of the week when we are unable to gather together. And perhaps those demons have been knocking on your door for a long time. Or the reality and events of the last year have kicked the door in straight from the hinges, and they're at the dinner table with you, and you feel that there's nowhere that you can go where the noise of the world that sends a message of hate, the opposite of joy and truth, will not consume you. And as we gather together here this morning, we need to remember that as we open our doors again, Like, actually, we're opening our doors again. This church is the place that we can come and find refuge in still waters and green pastures. Because the promise of Psalm 23 is not that the darkness and demons of the valley and shadow and death are going to go away, and that when you come to church, all of that's going to be put on pause and you get to leave it behind, and somehow when the benediction is said, you will return to a world void of problems and demons and struggles and stumbles. But the second half of Psalm 23 declares that the Lord prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies, and that we will find a refuge. And that is what we're going to be when we return. A church that provides a family and a moment where we can come and the noise isn't going to stop, but we can hear the voice of our shepherd above all the shouts around us and be called to a way of life that brings hope and joy and rejoicing and hugs. Well, not yet, but one day hugs. And we can walk through the valley of shadow of death together again, not alone, but as a community of faith and as a family that provides the rod and the staff to protect one another, to pick us up when we fall, to fend off the wolves when they cry and when they come. Because it has been a long time since we've had that. And it is time that we get back to that. Church, it's time to come home. It's time to return to the family of God that looks into the eyes of our young people and say, the world may have taken away everything that's important from you and robbed you of the milestones that they have propped up and said that give you value or worth, and have robbed you of the identity of which we told you you had to have, and has shoved you in a corner. But we here as a family of faith at Forest Hills know you and know your name and care about you and support you and love you and pick you up. To be a place that reaches out to the elderly who are isolated, who have been walled off from their families throughout this pandemic, and say, we will be the ones who will care for you and come to you and visit you and provide you with a family, even if there's no one else around you. To provide a community that will walk through us as jobs may come and go, or it becomes difficult to wake up in the morning and put food on the table, that this will be the family that comes and sits with you through the hard times. And I think we have forgotten what that looks like, because it doesn't happen on Zoom. It doesn't happen over email. And it doesn't happen over a tweet or Instagram or whatever app that I don't know exists anymore because I'm old. It happens in the community. It happens when we gather together as the family of God. So church, as we close this morning, and I stop my rambling, it's been a year, I'm a little excited. If you have somehow nibbled your way away from the family of God, not intentionally, but without the rhythm and routine of Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights and gathering together with the people you love and know by name, and have looked up and found yourselves removed from the family of God, we are here, not me, we as a family are here to tell you today, it is time to come home. If the darkness and the realities of the last year have become too deep, are too bad or too heavy for you to pick up, we are here to tell you today that it is time to come home, that we are here to help you carry the load, and we are waiting at the door for you. And no matter what other voices are calling you in other directions that say you have somewhere else to be, or something is more important, or it's not worth your time to be here. Just like the sheep know the voice of their shepherd, we need to know the call of our congregation and of our family and recognize when it is time to come home. So church, as the band comes back up and we move into a time of invitation, whether or not anything I've said this morning resonates with the journey that you've been through in the last year. We know that we have all been having to walk through that journey alone. And regardless of how dark and deep the night and the valley have been, know that the shepherd is still seeking. The party is ready. And your family is waiting. So come home. As we turn into this time, if you would like to take Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or you would like to join this family in a way in which we accept members, or if you have just been battling the demons at the door for too long and there is something that is wrestling and stirring in your heart and you just need us to help you carry the load and work it out, the pastors will be at the front. We're not going anywhere until all the unfinished business here has been resolved. Because we've come home and we're back together with the family of God. Let us pray. God, we recognize that in the worst moments and as the worst versions of ourselves, we look up from the darkness and the wilderness and cry out, wondering where you have been. Looking around us and hearing the demons at the door that are banging so loud that they drown out the sound of your voice, or so it may seem. We shout out asking, where is your rod and your staff? Where are these green pastures and still waters? God, we ask that you remind us today and call us back to your promise of the family of God. Because we may have been wandered away or separated or removed or just flat out quarantined from the people that love us the most. We ask that you remind our souls and our spirits today what it's like when a church can come together and lift up each other and rejoice because we are home. Pray all of this in your name. Amen.